We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of this Thursday edition of Cook and Punny. We're pleased to be joined on the line now by a New England Patriots insider. He does a great work for NBC Sports in Boston. I'm talking about Tom Curran. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Tom.
How are you today?
What's going on, fellas? Big one coming up.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing a little bit. It seems to be dominating our show.
Yeah, the elephant in the room, Tom.
Yeah, right. Hey, Tom, the Patriots looked awfully vulnerable the other night in Miami. How vulnerable do you think they are?
I think that was a mix of things. I think the Patriots made a calculated decision. They, of course, wanted to win that game, and they will never admit to it. But I think they wanted to win that game on their own terms. They knew they were on the road. They knew they had a short week. And they knew that if they lost in Miami, which they did not want to do, they could still have a chance to go to Pittsburgh, win that football game, and have the head-to-head edge. So I think that that was probably part of a calculation. I'm not saying they tried to win the game. Miami outplayed them. Miami took the fight to them. They couldn't move the ball offensively, as 0 for 11 on third down would indicate. But I don't sense that that is a major crack in the hull of this Patriots team.
I assume by that same token you don't see a major crack in Brady at age 40. Man, he took a beating though the other night. That's as much as I've seen him get hit in a long time.
Honestly, Ron, he got hit even more 2 weeks prior against Miami, and I think that was a big part of it. So if folks are wondering, well, why would they mail it in against Miami down there? Because 2 weeks prior, he got just mashed against Miami in Gillette Stadium. And I think from the beginning of the game, Brady was like, look, I'd like to win, but if I see people coming, I'm going to try and get rid of it. He got hit good that week. He got hit good against Buffalo, and then he got hit good on Monday night. So, you know, as we've seen quarterbacks go down around the league, and we all understand what Tom's age is, he's very adept at trying to live to fight another play. And I think that he understands that these are the plays that are going to matter, these 70 plays against Pittsburgh.
Tom, is his offensive line any good?
They have their moments of getting overpowered in the middle. So if you have Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, who are one of the best combos in the league, I think, at getting pressure, that's an issue. Because it's the pressure in the middle that prevents him from stepping up that's a problem. The offensive line, Nate Solder didn't play well. I would say relative to how they played in past years, they're at about a C. They can get out and they can screen you. They can get out and they can run on the edge. They can pull, but they're a smaller and athletic line than a lot of the big bodies, even like the Steelers' offensive line.
Tom, let's get back to the emphasis or importance Miami placed on this game. Two guys on defense, Van Noy, the leading tackler, Trey Flowers, the Patriot with the most sacks. Do you think those guys were held out of the game for precautionary reasons against the Dolphins? Do you expect them to play this weekend against the Steelers?
We haven't yet started getting a lot of injury reports. Obviously, it'll build until Friday when we get the questionable listings, and I'm sure that they'll be both on that listing. But so far, we'll see what their participation looks like. But I would imagine that they're certainly hoping. It's a calf with Van Noy that he initially injured, then re-injured. And it's a shoulder with Flowers that he sustained on a sack where he collided with another Patriot. When I talked to Flowers initially, he said, you know, I'm fine. And that was right after the game. So we'll see what ends up happening with those guys. But, again, I would think that if the Patriots saw them being on the edge, they would have said, you know what, we need you for Pittsburgh.
Okay. I know here, and you've probably written about this, the loss of Shazier and Hayden on the defensive side of the ball has, you know, been well documented, and we've seen the way the Steelers' defense has performed with those two guys out. If Flowers and Van Noy can't play, are those sizable losses? How good are those two players?
Yes, they're huge, huge losses. Because the Patriots don't get by with athleticism. The Patriots get by with fundamental soundness, understanding what the jobs are, doing the jobs, and just all their X's are in the places where they're supposed to be. they're really close to the bone in terms of athleticism. So you take those two guys out, who are a couple of their best athletes in the front seven, and you replace them with Marquise Flowers and Eric Lee, who was on the, you know, Bills practice squad, and your drop-off is going from competent and good NFL players to borderline NFL players. And you go against Levian and Antonio Brown and throw in Bryant and Juju Smith and Jesse James the way he's playing, it's a problem.
Tom, Mike Tomlin was quick the other day to put an asterisk beside that Miami loss, the Patriots loss in Miami. He said, no, Rob Gronkowski, game changer. The Steelers have just struggled with him ever since he's been in the league. I assume you anticipate him being a big part of the game plan again.
Absolutely, and I'm curious to see how their linebackers and safeties deal with him, because he is their threat in the seam. He's their threat down the middle. And that's what they didn't have the other night. You know, they were coming with heat up the middle. Gronk doesn't get great separation, although he can, but he's a mismatch just standing there. So you certainly wouldn't have seen 0-for-11 if Rob Gronkowski was out there the other day. And against Buffalo, before he lost his mind, he was having one of the most dominant halves that I've seen him have in the NFL. He had about 115 yards worth of receptions and was just posting guys up.
We're talking to NBC Sports Patriots insider Tom Curran here on the Cook and Pony Show.
Tom, after Gronkowski, who is the next weapon in the Patriots offense?
I would say Deion Lewis at this juncture, but they are so game plan oriented that it could be Lewis, it could be Burkhead. And, you know, we saw what Chris Hogan did last year against Pittsburgh, which just snoozed on the guy and they lost him.
Yep.
So Hogan had a huge game. Edelman's loss this season is massive, because I can't decide whether it's Edelman makes Gronkowski or Gronkowski makes Edelman, but they don't have that middle-of-the-field guy. Amendola has been outstanding for what you would expect for a 30-plus guy who is about 188 pounds, but Edelman is missed.
I thought Hogan and Cooks were terrible on Monday. I mean,
They can't get off the line. And that's the problem. That's why Antonio Brown, that's why Cooks isn't Antonio Brown. You know, Brown is, obviously, I think he's having a season like kind of like Steph Curry, where you're like, how can he keep doing this? How can this guy at this size keep doing this to everyone? Cooks does not have any of the nuance that Antonio Brown does in his game. He can't get off the line. He tries to do it with pure speed, and he doesn't have that ability to set guys up that I think a player like Brown has developed. Hogan does not get separation. Both of them are good players, but they're complementary, and they need Gronkowski and Edelman, and they need protection for Brady that allows them to kind of walk away from people eventually, because in Hogan's case, people forget about him, and in Cook's case, he's fast as hell.
Yeah, Tom, I think our listeners are hoping you're right about Hogan, because he certainly got separation in the AFC Championship game without Gronkowski on the field.
They didn't cover him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the weirdest thing about that game to me, Cook. You know, you look at Le'Veon Bell goes out, he gets hurt on the second play, carries six times, he was useless, and people say, well, the Steelers didn't have Le'Veon Bell. Well, he had nothing to do with not covering Chris Hogan. I mean, Keith Butler has spent since June talking about the different things he was going to do to stop the Patriots. And they weren't going to sit there in zone, and they were going to play man, and they were going to play press, just like Miami did. Do you fellas think that they will be able to, or have indicated that they can, make a switch in their defensive philosophy against the Patriots in this game?
Maybe not in this game. I think it depends if Joe Hayden plays.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tom.
And depends on how effective he is. Now, maybe if they meet in the playoffs with Hayden healthy, they'll be able to do that. I mean, Hayden, their defense has basically stunk without Hayden, the pass defense, and now without Shazier. Those are their two MVPs, you could argue, on
Absolutely.
Defense. And so to answer your question, Hayden needs to play. You mentioned something about Keith Butler talking since June. You know, Mike Tomlin brings this game up 3 weeks ago. The Steelers have been pointing to this since they went to training camp. Is there a feeling in New England that same sort of, I don't know, intensity is the word? There's a feeling here the Patriots might be in the Steelers' head. Do they feel that way in New England?
They do. They have long since felt as if they are in their head. Now, that's more of a fan and media-driven sense. And I, these guys are so close to the vest in terms of not indicating how they feel about games or teams, and that's passed on by Belichick, and to talk in glowing terms before the games, that you don't really get an indication of, you know, a level of anything but respect. And I think the Steelers certainly respect the Patriots. But it's funny, you know, you see Pittsburgh circling these games, and they do it kind of annually, and you're thinking, well, are the Patriots ready for this? Do they really want this? Because you don't hear them talking about it, and then they go on the field. And I think that they're one and Steelers are 1-4 against the Patriots at Heinz in the last five meetings. So the Patriots kind of just, Belichick says, you know, just don't talk. Ignore the noise. Don't create distractions. Just show up, business trip, do the job, and leave. Don't talk about it prior. So it's hard to get a read on how important these games are or whether they have greater importance, I guess I should say it that way, Ron. But you know it does.
Tom, I get the sense from what I read out of Boston and what I hear on, you know, the stations like this one, I don't sense a lot of respect for Tomlin. And we get that here a lot just because coaches are put under the microscope. But I get the sense coming out of New England that people kind of look at him as a joke. Is that true?
I think that's extreme. I think there are people who do. I think that's extreme. I think Tomlin's an excellent coach. I think there's things that he does very, very well in terms of annual ability. But when it comes to X's and O's adjustments and altering what your team does, the Steelers don't do it. And over the course of 18 years, Patriots fans and media, who were not nearly as well-educated 18 years ago as we are now, have a PhD in, okay, you're not supposed to do the same thing every week. You're supposed to be a game plan team. You're supposed to take away the best player for the other team. You're supposed to be fundamentally sound, allow yards but not points. And you see the Steelers don't do that necessarily on defense. They play the same thing. They have sloppy breakdowns in big games, and they get 55 points put on their defense sometimes when they play New England. So it's inevitable that you say, well, this coach changes on a week-to-week basis, whatever he needs to do, and that coach has a team that doesn't change. They still run the same stuff that Dick LeBeau ran, which bringing Chuck Noll practically started with. I know I'm exaggerating there, but, you know, I think that Mike Tomlin, I like Tomlin. I think he's a great coach. He'd be a fun guy to play for. But, no, you're exactly right in terms of the X's and O's. It's not a lot of respect for Pittsburgh's ability to do anything but be explosive offensively, talk a great game, and try and take your head off.
Tom, as far as stopping Antonio Brown is concerned, who is the Patriots' best corner? And if you had to guess in Belichick's head right now, is he looking, if he's going to take something away, is it Brown or is it Bell?
Well, he's always put Malcolm Butler on him, but Butler hasn't played as well as he had in years past. He's losing some separation. He got beaten twice by Ukeem Grant the other night. Julius Thomas ran past him on another play. I believe it was Julius Thomas. So it's usually been Malcolm Butler. Antonio Brown, I remember the 2015 opener, ended up with over 100 yards and a touchdown. But even in that, the touchdown came late, and a big chunk of the yards came just on a ridiculous Roethlisberger Antonio Brown throw. So I would anticipate it being Malcolm Butler because he's a little bit quicker with a guy like Brown, who can threaten the three levels, line of scrimmage, you know, intermediate, and then deep down the field, whereas Gilmore is kind of a longer guy, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on Martavis Bryant.
Tom, we appreciate your time, man.
Safe
travels to Pittsburgh. We'll look forward to saying hello to you on Sunday afternoon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's interesting stuff from Tom Kern, the NBC Sports Insider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.